Hi, this episode is going to be about what rocketry is, starting right after this.
Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Since the beginning of time, man has peered into the night sky and wondered, how do I get there? It's the Realm Rocketry Podcast with your host, Brennan Thompson.
So, the first thing that I want to answer is, what is a model rocket? A model rocket is basically a miniature version of like a NASA or SpaceX rocket, which if you're older, you're probably more familiar with like the Apollo series, and if you're younger, you're probably more familiar with the numerous SpaceX rockets there are. So, what are these rockets made of? They're not made of metal. The reason why is safety. If this rocket happens to run into a human person, it will probably send them to the hospital. If it runs into something that is of value to you, like your car, then it probably will make some damage in Mars. You may have to pay for it to be fixed. So, the other reason is metal cost money. That's the reason why bikes actually cost money and why they aren't given away for free unless it's in the Craigslist free section. Well, part of the reason why bikes cost money. Model rockets are actually made out of paper, balsa wood, plastic, and cardboard most of the time. What balsa wood is it is a wood that actually has a very, very high strength-to-weight ratio. In fact, it has a better ratio of strength-to-weight than carbon steel. Okay? That is actually pretty crazy. So do these rockets fly? There are some plastic models that you can buy at like hobby shops. Those do not fly, although you can convert them, and that is a very fun thing to do. Most rockets fly that are models. There are definitely plastic models, and maybe I'll make a couple episodes about that. But the ones that like Estes sells and those manufacturers sell, those are flying model rockets. So the next question would probably be, what propels these if they fly? So what this is called is a model rocket motor or engine. There's actually some controversy. I'm just going to call it whatever comes to my mind, motor or engine. In my opinion, it's all the same thing. So there is a part of the space shuttle that is not in the main pod, in the liquid stuff. It's those white boosters. Those are called SRBs, solid rocket boosters. So solid rocket boosters on the space shuttle, those are very similar to a model rocket. The only difference is they don't have fins, and also the propellant is different. The propellant in the solid rocket boosters on the space shuttle is one of the propellants that we actually use in model rocketry. This propellant that I'm talking about for low power rocketry is a little bit different, and it's called black powder. It's actually what you put in your gun. So, yeah, it's the real stuff. And it's in a pretty small quantity. And there's also, actually, there are motors that are composites. That what we call the solid rocket booster propellant formula. But they aren't used for low-power rocketry as of this moment. That may change soon because of the Quest Q-Jets, but for now, it's like what it is. So, are the motors reusable? In a word, for black powder motors that are used for low power rocketry, no! There are some composite motors that are called reloadables, and you can reload those and you have to purchase a reload. So, how are these stable? So, how are they stable? Like, you said that they have fins. So, model rockets are more of, like, darts than they are, like, real rockets because they have fins. I'm just saying, in a way, they're still rockets. They still have a motor propelling them. But the fins on them, that's what keeps them stable. You have to do some calculations to determine if your rocket is stable. We'll go over that in a later podcast episode. So what holds them together? So, the main thing that holds model rockets together is wood glue. And in higher power rocketry, they use stuff called epoxy. So, wood glue is probably what you might know what wood glue is. What it is it's a glue that you mainly use to glue together wood, and it's a great glue for this. It actually will not break. The joint will not break. The thing that will break first is the material. And remember, balsa wood is pretty strong. It has a higher strength to weight ratio than carbon steel. But you have to make a good glue joint. We'll talk about that in another episode. So, also, you might need a dab of plastic cement here and there. This is the dreaded tube glue. Somebody made these tube glues to be the messiest thing ever. Okay, not really, but I just don't like tube glue. I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's messy. It smells bad. It's just bad. So what I would use usually when I'm trying to glue together plastic components, instead of using the plastic cement, is super glue. Yes, that's super glue stuff that you can glue your fingers together with. Be careful, people. Be careful. But it's a lot less messy, and although it does still smell bad, and it is kind of dangerous, it works better than plastic cement, and I just like it better than plastic cement. So, are they safe? Are these model rockets safe? This is a pretty big question, and one thing that I will say is if you follow the correct safety codes. So, there is a safety code for model rocketry that is ordained by the National Association of Rocketry, which is abbreviated as the NAR. And this safety code, I'll make a link to it in the description, and you'll see it. But you can become a member of the NAR, and it'll actually insure you for a lot of money if you become one and you follow the safety codes. So, as long as you're safe, they are safe. It's just, if you're going to do stuff intentionally, like if you're going to hold your rocket in place and then put your hand under it, I think you're going to get burned today! There are other silly things you can do, like if you put your launcher at an angle that is pointed at somebody. I think that you might need to look at your health insurance. Maybe get some umbrella insurance as well. But rocketry is a very safe sport. It usually has about a death per year. And mainly, that's a bunch of stupid people who went up on power lines to recover their rocket. Can I tell you how stupid of an idea this is? We conduct electricity with our bodies. There would not be death in model rocketry if people didn't do the power line thingy. It's just not great. So what I suggest is if your rocket lands on a power line, consider it gone, and don't worry about it. If you do, you might die, and you don't want to risk dying. So don't do that. However, you can call the power company and tell them that your rocket is up there, and they might take care of it. But if you're not stupid, you do all the stuff, it is very safe. So, what system of measure do we use? Okay, this is kind of a weird question, but the reason why I include this is because I'm making apology right now. We are kinda crazy with our unit of measure. We use them on and on with different units of measure. It's just silly. It's just not great. Unfortunately. We use everything. We use millimeters, we use newtons, we use pounds, seconds, centimeters. It's just a mess. But you're gonna get used to it, and that's gonna be what's gonna be. Is model rocketry expensive? No, model rocketry is not expensive. Depending on what kind of deal you get, You can get started for about $50 in model rocketry. You can get started for cheaper, just really depends. You usually would buy a model rocket launch set that'll include your launch pad and model rocket. All you need to buy after that would be your recovery wadding and, of course, your motor, so you can actually fly. I mean, if you just want to have it sit there on the launch pad and take a couple photos of it and all that, you're welcome to do that. But fly it, there's a couple things that can happen to your model rocket. One, it could sit on a shelf to collect dust and you never really think about it. Two, it could keep flying forever and ever and ever and get dirty and get scratched up, but you have a lot of satisfaction. Three, it could go extremely high, drift away in the wind, and you never see it again. This still gives you satisfaction because a model rocket is really built for flying anyways. Also, if you belong to a club, you can just use their launcher system as well, which means that it only takes you about $25 to get started. So how much do the rockets themselves cost? Depends on where you go. But I go to a Hobby Lobby, and those are super cheap rockets. They have a big discount, and I can probably buy a good rocket for $15. That's a pretty good rocket. And you can see some $10 rockets there as well. So the launch equipment is more expensive. Also, the launch set that I bought was a expensive kit as well, so you could probably get a cheaper launch set. The equipment to prep your rocket does cost some money. I'm able to pick up a pack of B motors for about, I'd say around $10. And it's more expensive the more motor propulsion you have. But at Hobby Lobby, usually. Wait, did I just give you a motor type? What is that? So, what are the motor classifications anyway? Well, you might go around to your Hobby Lobby and look and see, like, oh, there's this thing called a B64, an A83, a C65, a D12-4. What does this even mean? And then there's, like, these D12 zeros, like, what? So how the motor classification works is you start off with your A motor. So the letter will double with each increment. Like, the B is twice as powerful as the A motor. And the C is twice as powerful as the B motor. The motors that you can fly are, really at least up to E or D. It's kind of weird, but actually what happens is there's so much thrust between the two that you end up having a lot of differences, and you sometimes want just in the middle, and you just can't do that, so that's why it's not always a thing that is the same. But it's up, good up through E, is pretty much what I'm going to say. So, what is the first number in the B64 example? So pretend that you have a gas pedal at your foot. If you're younger and you don't have a driver's permit, this would be kind of cool. But if you're older, you're like, okay, let's get going. So the harder you press on the gas pedal, the faster you go. And that's kind of what the the number is. So the bigger the number, the faster your rocket goes. How this actually works is by a nozzle. The nozzle actually is made of clay, I believe. It's made of clay. And the bigger clay opening will let out more exhaust, and that will go quicker. The smaller clay opening will let out less exhaust, and it will go slower. The last number is the delay. So, there's such a thing called a burnout because black powder motors don't burn infinitely, as somebody might have told you. Well, they don't. If I'm the first person to tell you that, motors don't burn infinitely. If they did, then that'd be kind of weird. But, since they don't burn infinitely, there's such a thing when they stop burning called burnout. When burnout is achieved, the last number is the amount of seconds from burnout to the ejection charge. When ejection charge is at the end of the rocket motor, there's some black powder there, and it's able to create a propulsive forward force to blow off the nose cone of your rocket, which is the cone that's on top of the rocket, which is attached to the rocket by a cord, and has a parachute attached to it, and to blow off the nose cone, and so you can have your parachute open up, and all that. So, like, it's measured in seconds. So, like a B61, that would be 1 second from burnout to blowing off the nose cone. A B62, 2 seconds from burnout to blowing off the nose cone. You get the point. So, what exactly are the parts of a motor? How did that work? So, here's the first part of a motor. So, I'll put a link to a picture of the motor, or put a picture in the motor in the description. But the first thing is a clay nozzle. So this is the nozzle I was talking about, that the bigger it is, the higher of a number the first number will be. And it is clay, actually. So then you have the propellant for liftoff and acceleration. This is just a propellant, and it does exactly what you think it does. It's the black powder, and it propels it. So then there's delay for your tracking smoke. So rockets actually have tracking smoke, so you can see them going up before you see the parachute, so you can keep sight of them. And what this does is it makes a delay. It burns pretty slow. And then there's the ejection charge to activate your recovery system. So that's exactly what it is, just the ejection charge. And then you have your clay retainer cap. So this thing is also blown out when the ejection charge is blown. And pretty much what it does is it makes sure that your black powder doesn't come falling out of your rocket on either side. And that's really the only purpose of it. It also gets shot out, and I'm sure it helps with the deployment of the parachute because it has more force. So the ejection charge has hot gases, actually. So the way you prevent those hot gases from burning up your parachute is actually a thing called recovery wadding. This is flame-proof toilet paper that you can buy. You don't need to flame-proof your toilet paper. And actually, if you use toilet paper, it's a fire hazard. I'm serious. What could happen is your toilet paper could burn up, fall to the grass, and then start a giant fire. Not good. Do not use toilet paper for recovery wadding. I cannot stress this enough. But it is basically flame-proof toilet paper. Just don't use toilet paper. If you flame-proof your toilet paper, though, I guess it might work. I would just buy the recovering wadding because it's so cheap. If you have any questions, you can use the contact page on my website, which I'll provide a link in the description for my website. Thank you for listening to the Realm Rocketry Show. Please subscribe, rate, and review. You can visit my website from the link in the description. Until next time, remember, what could go right? Safety third!